Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, come on. Check the pulse of the person next to you. Let's try that again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our text today comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 15, verses 42 through 44, and then jumping down to verses 54 through 56. Let us listen carefully to these words written to a church who needed to hear them then and now. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Moving down to verse 54. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in us, for the word of God with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you, if you will, to pray with us. O Lord, do not let the rocks cry out. Let our voices sing aloud, not only the hosannas, but also the praises of our hearts. Let our voice sing out the fact that we now enter into this, the week of all weeks. Let us travel this week with you. Let us hear you in the upper room as you instruct the disciples one last time. Let us hear your words of love. Let us hear your words of pain. Let us hear your words of sacrifice. Come right now, Holy God, into this place. Send your Spirit that all of us may feel your presence, that we may feel you in a mighty and powerful way, that we may be transformed by your grace, that we may be resurrected from the death that we are feeling in our lives by the power of your love, that we may be claimed by you, that we may be standing firm and bold as witnesses to your power in the world. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Blow through us. Blow within us your power, your might, your love, and your grace. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. For we, your people, need and long to hear your voice. Amen. We come to the conclusion of our study of the Creed, to those last final statements about resurrection and life eternal, which is an interesting place to land on this Palm Sunday, in which we wave the branches of evergreens and we shout hosannas as a way to wrap up and get ready. But to understand that, we need to understand the central claim of Christianity, that which makes us distinct, that which we proclaim with all of our being, is that Christ rose. For without that claim, the birth has no meaning. For without that claim, Good Friday is another state execution. It is the central claim of our faith, that the Son of God came to save us, and he did so by dying for us, and that body, the physical body, got up and walked out of that grave with the marks of the crucifixion. And because he did get up and rise, we too will rise again. It is the central claim of our faith. It is what makes us who we are. It's what makes us Christian. For beyond that, there is no meaning for us in a life of faith. Christ got up and walked out of the grave. And next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to be going around here just dancing and shouting. Well, I will. I don't know about some of you people. I worry about y'all sometimes. You can't shout and sing on Easter. Come on now. But that's the central claim of Christianity, is there is a resurrection of the body. The body known as Christ, and that we will also be raised with him. We also claim that there is life everlasting. That when we die, that is not the end of the story. That there is life beyond the grave. That was what Paul was talking about, is that death has been defeated. Amen? That death is not the final word. Death does not get the final say. And I know that when I stand at the bedside of a saint whose next breath is going to be in the arms of Jesus, I can make that claim. I know that when I come to that moment at the end of the funeral and I can say, I move their membership from Rehoboth to life eternal and the church triumphant, I know that that life is with God. I know that I know that I know that there is life eternal and life everlasting. For that gives me meaning now to know that when I take my final breath, I'm going to wind up in the arms of my Jesus. And he is going to say, now, Pat, you had some struggles. We're going to talk during fellowship time. You're going to be in my office, sister. He's going to say, you done some things, but I forgive you. Because I love you like no one else. And I'm going to dance around the throne of grace till eternity ends. And we're going to have a feast. Woo, we're going to have a feast. I know the Bible says manna, but it's going to be fried chicken and turnip greens and cornbread. Oh, we're going to have a life eternal. In the presence of our God and Creator, we're going to be. Where we will know and be known as we have never known and been known. There will be no more crying, no more sighing. We will be with the one who has loved us like no other. Ooh, what a day that will be when we all get to heaven. What a glorious day that will be. For we claim as Christians that Christ has provided us with life everlasting. I believe in that. But in order for there to be a resurrection, there has to be death. Did you know that you could experience resurrection right now? At least a foretaste of it, right here now. But that means you've got to die a little bit. You've got to die to self. You've got to give up your issues of control. Ooh, I just stepped on some toes. You've got to give up issues of control. You've got to give up some pride. Ooh! You know that pride thing? I'm not talking to you all right now. You got to give up some pride, some arrogance. You got to lay yourself authentically bare before God and say, I am your child. I submit myself to you. Come, Lord Jesus. Strip me of my will and make me yours. Come to me and reveal to me those ways in which I have put other things and other people at the center of my life. And just as I am, Lord, receive me and forgive me and help me to die to my desire to sin so that I may be resurrected here and now slowly and completely to you, so that I may experience your grace this day and every day. We can experience that in the here and now, and it will take us all of our lives. It will take us from now until we're face to face with our God. We call that sanctifying grace as Methodists. And when our time comes to take our last breath on this side of the icy Jordan, we will be resurrected one day. And we will join all the saints of God as we stand before the one who loves us. And we will experience that final blows of death. But as I said, that is not the end of the story. This week, we relive, not just remember, but we relive that holy and divine moment when Christ entered the gates to the hosannas and has proclaimed what people did not understand, that he was the Messiah. And we begin that long journey with him through the temple courts, through the misunderstandings of his identity. And we walk with him to the upper room where he has that last meal, where he finally gives that lesson of my broken body and my poured out blood. Where then he goes from that moment into the garden and he prays so hard that his tears become like blood. And he's betrayed and handed over to the state and the religious leaders. In a mocked up trial, he is sent to the cross. And we must walk with him to that moment, for we dare not go from today's hosannas to next Sunday's hallelujahs without going to the cross on Friday, where we realize the penalty of sin and death, where we realize the depth of God's love for us, where we realize that God would do everything for us to show us God's love. For this is the holiest of weeks for us. This is the most sacred time for us. This is not a week like any other week for us. This is a week in which we live out that creed. This is the week in which we proclaim to the world that we are a people set apart and holy. We dare not live this week like any other week, for this is sacred and holy ground upon which we walk. This is Holy Week. I believe in God, the Creator, the Almighty, the Everlasting God. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, my Lord, who came to love, to heal, to teach, and to save. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, the very presence of God with us, to guide us, and to be with us. I believe in the church, the bride of Christ, who has come to be the very Emmanuel among us, who stands against the gates of hell to proclaim the good news. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, that we are capable of receiving grace, and that we can stand upright in the love of God. I believe in the communion of saints, both here and now, and those of the past and those to come, and those thin moments in which heaven and earth come together. I believe in the forgiveness of all people. I believe in the resurrection of Christ's body, and that we too one day will be resurrected. And I believe in the life everlasting. For those things I will stake my life, both now and in the future. What do you believe? What are you willing to stake your life on? What will you this week proclaim to the world and how you live and how you move and what decisions you make in your life? What do you believe? Amen.